Thursday, almost Friday, then the weekend.
Keep
Sundays
going.
Suck.
Oh, don't say that, Wendy. Sundays.
Don't you get kind of bummed on Sundays?
No, I'm good with Sundays now. When I was a kid, I did, because I saved all my homework for late Sunday night.
Oh, God.
I would do my homework. You know the block of programming the Channel 11 showed? You had No Honestly.
Oh, I remember that show.
You had Dave Allen at Large.
Yes.
You had the two Ronnies and, of course, the Capper, Monty Python's Flying Circus. So I would start my homework during that two-hour block and then continue and finish it afterwards.
You did it while you were watching?
Yeah, I did. I started it. Like, I would get all the particulars down so that I could cruise through it once the shows were over. But to me, Sunday always represented there's going to be a lot of homework tonight.
I just can't enjoy Sundays anymore because I know I have to plan for the week ahead, so I have to go to the grocery store, laundry needs to be done. It bums me out. About 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon is the worst time for me.
Why doesn't everybody do their grocery shopping like at 9 o'clock on a weeknight? Because it's empty. You cruise through. I go through whatever grocery store I need to go to. I'm in and out in 10 minutes with everything we need for the week. But everybody tends to go like on a Saturday around noon. Why can't people go when it's open, when it's wide open?
I don't know how much you get, but when we go, it's like there are some meals involved. So a lot of times I have to go after work because you need it for that night.
Oh, I guess so. You want it fresh. I guess so.
Well, and some of the stuff, it's just like, oh, what am I making for dinner tonight? I'll go pick up some sandwich steaks or something. And then on the weekends, people tend to do that on Sundays. You stock up for the week. You go get lunch meat for the kids' lunches. Everything has to happen on a Sunday.
Like I go in, like last night, well, I shouldn't say last night because last night was just a quick in and out. But normally, like after a night I play tennis, I'll stop by a Jewel or a Mariano's or something. There's hardly anybody in there. I can get several days worth of food. Now, granted, we don't cook anywhere near as regularly as you do. Far less.
Working with you this time back.
Yeah.
I hardly ever cook.
You're
anymore.
Not either?
I try to cook on Sundays, so then I need all the ingredients,
I guess. Yeah.
And I've been in the habit of going like 8 or 9 a.m. on Sunday because if you wait till in the afternoon,
good stuff's gone.
No, it's just so crowded.
Yeah.
And then, like, my day's shot. Then I like to get all my purchasing finished. And I went last weekend. I went on Saturday night. It was cold. It was yucky. No one was going out. And I'm like, you know what? I can't remember. I made stuffed shells. So I went on a Saturday to purchase all the items. And I'm telling you, waking up on Sunday, I was a little less stressed because I could cook whenever I wanted.
Oh,
it was already there.
Sure. Now, think about the people that also have church as part of that equation.
Yeah, I know. And I said I'd start going to church during Lent. I told Christian Kuhn that.
I know, but you lied to him about so many things.
I didn't.
Just blend in with the rest.
I did the exact opposite of lying, Bill. I was way too honest.
You did shock him. You shocked the man of the cloth yesterday.
I don't like to shock people. I know you think I do, but when I'm trying, I can't shock. When I'm not trying, I do.
You said that you're giving up. You don't want to reiterate? No, we don't have to.
I just am.
But you gave him
some
letters.
There was a bad word I used to say. I used to say it. I gave it up for Lent last year, and quite honestly, it worked because I've really not said it for over a year.
But it was fun to watch. It became like a game show because you just gave the letter abbreviation of the word, and you could see him. It was like a contestant on a game show.
He didn't know.
Like he goes. JFC. No, I cannot.
I said, don't say it.
I can't figure out what. I don't know what. I don't know. And we had prizes for him. He could have won a car, a Plymouth.
You said off the air that you think he did know. He didn't know.
I don't know that he knew. Yeah, I rethought it. He didn't know. He didn't know. But it was fun to watch him. He wanted.
No, it wasn't
he
fun.
Wanted
Not if
to
you
play.
Were me.
Oh, what could that word
would've
be?
Would have been
that?
Fun if you said that to him, but
yeah.
It wasn't fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Dean Richards. Oh, go ahead.
No, go,
say?
Go, go, go.
Dean Richards reminded me of something.
Yes.
He was talking about he went back to this movie theater on the South Side that he used to attend as a child. That was his first movie-going experience, was in this movie theater, and now he goes back as an adult and gets a whole new experience. But it's still, you know, it opens up a floodgate of memories. And then I think he asked you, what was the first movie you saw in a movie theater? And you said Funny Girl.
Yes.
Right?
My grandma took me.
What was the theater? Do you remember the theater?
The Olympic Theater in Cicero.
Oh.
It might have been the Lake Theater in Oak Park. They were very similar.
Now, do you still remember? So you would have been, Funny Girl came out, I think, in 1968 or 69.
68. Right?
So you were five.
Yes.
Do you remember the spectacle of, you were used to seeing a picture on a TV screen that was this
black
big.
Black and white.
And black and white. And now you were walking into a room with a giant wall showing a movie.
Cool.
Do you still remember, like, the disbelief
yes.
of that moment?
Because to this day, when I go to old-time movie houses,
mm-hmm.
I remember the screen being way bigger because mm-hmm. I was so little.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I saw it. I really remember the curtains, like, mainly at the end of the movie. The credits were just about finished, and there was kind of... you could see through the
right.
curtains as they were coming
that.
Down. It looked like the inside of a casket because
yeah.
it was kind of, it looked
ribbed.
Silky. Yes.
Yeah.
And it would just come down and you could, real slowly.
Yeah.
And you could still read the last final credits and,
yeah.
and the date and the timestamp and everything at the
right.
very last shot of the movie. But I remember that. I remember the plush velvet seats that
yeah.
you sat on. There was
yeah.
no reclining thing. It was terribly, well... It wasn't terribly uncomfortable because I was a little kid.
Right. It was amazing.
It was pretty cool.
You couldn't believe. The theaters by me when I was really little all had those same curtains, and they would open them for the coming attractions and then close them again. And then 8 or 10 seconds later, they would open them for what we were told was our feature presentation. Because I remember those words like feature
yes.
presentation. I was so amazed. Feature presentation. I would get so excited.
That was really cool. Although I'm telling you, and maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. There were like big burgundy velvet curtains that opened side to side, but there was also that kind of opaque one that
mm-hmm.
went down
mm-hmm.
as well. There were two different
right.
directions of curtains.
Yeah, which added to the spectacle
of this giant stage you were looking at.
This is a feature presentation. Look, there's curtains in every direction. There's the... There's that.
And can I tell you, watching Funny Girl at the Olympic Theater in Cicero, I almost believed that I was watching it happen live on a stage
mm-hmm.
because it was stage-like
mm-hmm.
and then the big screen, and I really enjoyed that movie
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. The first two movies I saw, and I, for some reason, I can't for the life of me figure out which order they came in. I know they were within a very short span of time, and I know that I was 4 years old. It was 1967. So within a very short span of time, maybe a month or 2 months, I saw The Jungle Book, the Disney.
Oh, I saw that too. My grandma
Jungle
took me
Book.
To see that.
And then I also saw the movie 1,000 Clowns.
I did not see that.
And I saw that because my dad was in the play at Theater on the Lake, so the whole theater company went to see it together.
They brought
and
their families.
A couple of families, yeah, in some cases the families. It's not a large cast, so I remember there being a couple of family. But I don't remember which order they were in, but I remember in both cases not being able to understand. Like, it was told to me what I was going to experience, but then once you're in a room like that and the movie's so big and there's so many other people around, I remember watching the movies, but just looking around, just going... We don't even know each other, but
yes.
we're all just sitting here together watching a movie.
I honestly, Bill, I totally get where you're coming from, and especially if it was really crowded, because you'd be like, you know, what if this guy puts their arm on my, this
yeah.
is my seat, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's like, God, that is such an interesting thought.
Yeah. It baffled me, like nobody talked to each other. Like, you go, well, that's weird that all these people would just gather together. Because if you're used to just seeing movies or TV shows in your home on your TV, you look around and you go, that's my mom, that's my
right.
dad, my brother's over there, there's my aunt and uncle. I know everybody. But in this instance, I didn't know anybody except my parents, and, you know, that was it.
And that's what's weird when you think about, like, when your girls were born and when my boys were born, you took them everywhere. It was
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you could just plop your car seat on top of your grocery cart.
Yeah.
And on the way home from the hospital, I think I stopped at the Jewel to pick something up with Michael.
Yeah.
And, but when we were little, I wasn't... I mean, I guess I wouldn't remember as a baby, but it was weird being out with strangers.
Yeah.
Even though your parents were there
right.
and there were other strangers, it's like...
Still strange.
These are strangers among me.
Right.
I don't like this.
I also remember the movie theater we went to the most was Ford City. They weren't... All right, so this was the late 60s, right? So there were movie theaters sprinkled around, but it's not like it was now where every town had a multiplex. Yeah. It wasn't that prevalent.
And they weren't multiplex.
No, they were almost always ones or twos. I can't remember it being much larger than that. But one of the other ones we went to a lot was, what was the name of it? It was in the southwest suburbs. I'm trying to remember what it was called. It's long gone now. It was a shopping center.
Harlem Surmac Plaza? Kinda,
no.
Because that's where we went, North Riverside, Berwyn.
It was either in or near Beverly.
Oh.
It was about a 15-minute ride from where we lived in Oak Forest. But the thing that I remembered most about it was that they had a pop machine there where when you picked out the flavor, like a can of pop didn't come out. They still have pop machines like this. But everything would pour, you know, the syrup would pour in one, and then the carbonated water, and then the ice and stuff like that.
And was there like a silver funnel that the cup
would drop?
Down. Yeah.
Sometimes the cup would come down, and it would be
crooked.
Off to the side,
yes.
And then your dad's root beer would fly all over the place, and you'd just go, oh, this is horrible.
God, are you bringing back nice little childhood memories?
But... For me, like the excitement of that, and we talked about Green River, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, because it's very, you can find it almost everywhere now because it's St. Patrick's Day, but the rest of the year. So they had both Orange Fanta and Green River, and the whole way to the movie theater, I wouldn't even be thinking about the movie. I'm like, boy, I can get the Orange Fanta, but Green River's so good. Like the whole way there, that's all I was thinking about.
Okay.
Orange or Green River? Hmm. And it was always a game time decision. It was
right.
Right when I was at the machine, I would just look at the buttons. Tough call, though.
Did you have regrets sometimes?
No, because it was always so bubbly and delicious. And and the cups were so... I think they were like 7-ounce cups. They weren't big
at
all.
They weren't big.
Little styrofoam cups.
They were not big.
No, you couldn't really... It's not like now when you go to a movie theater and you get an 84-ounce, your best value.
It's like a bird bath size.
I know. And you're drinking it and you're holding it going, I will never be thirsty again after the size of this. Back then it was just a little sampler
And you
cup.
Got like three little crushed ice cubes.
That
it
was
wasn't
it.
Very much because the cup was so little.
Yeah. There wasn't enough, really, sadly.
In fact, was there even ice?
Yeah. The ice was part of it because there was a cyst. Everything would come out in that certain order.
Was the ice would crash.
Oh, the sound was
then
great.
Would be the seltzer water, then a little squirting of the soda.
And that bubble sound that you would get, you always hear it in Coke and Pepsi commercials, that, you know, that very refreshing, bubbly sound. I don't know. The movie was always great, but it was just walking back going, I've got a Green River. I've got an orange. This is great.
Although, I got to ask you a question, because Green River, and I could be wrong, it's not carbonated now, is it?
No, it still is. It definitely still is.
Really?
Yeah. Did you have one that wasn't carbonated?
Yeah, maybe it was just a flat one.
Oh. No, it's still
all
carbonated.
Right.
I know that for sure. They couldn't take the carbonation out. I would sometimes, there was a Tasty Freeze fairly close to us when I was little.
Lucky.
And I would buy a jug of the Green River syrup and then make my own Green River at home. Like that 64-ounce, just the syrup. And my parents would go, what's wrong with you? How much of this can you possibly drink? Well, I can drink a lot of it, trust me.
That reminds me, my son Michael never had an egg cream. Do you know what an egg cream is?
I do, yes.
I don't. It's
an East Coast thing. Is it
Jewish diner thing?
Yeah, very much. I mean, you can get it in other places, but in the more Jewish areas in New York, that's common.
All right, because I drove an hour round trip to 11 City Diner to get... Jim was sick, and the only thing that cures a bad cold is matzo ball soup.
Mm-hmm.
And 11 City Diner over on Wabash near Columbia College has... Their matzah is almost the size of a 12-inch softball.
Wow.
I mean,
impressive.
I can't tell you how big their matzo ball is, and it's the best.
It's the size of Kim Gordon.
Kim makes really good matzo ball soup.
I do, but I make little balls, not little
right.
balls.
Mm-hmm. These were 11 City Diner. I love this place. And then I thought, since I'm driving, it's going to take me a half an hour to get there.
Yeah.
I may as well, you know, get some the combo, the pastrami and corned beef combo.
Live it up,
with
sure.
With horseradish.
Yeah.
Why do you put Thousand Island on corned beef? I don't understand.
Well, that's a Russian. That's
or a Reuben.
That's a Reuben, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but anyway.
Not for you.
It makes it mushy.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Soggy.
And I was driving a half hour there and a half an hour back, and I ordered over the phone. I'm like, I'm not going to be there till 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving a half an hour to get my deli on.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael said,
were they psyched about that?
They were very nice. In fact, I Instagrammed them, and they said they were honored that I drove that far.
Oh,
nice.
But Michael said, please get me an egg cream. I've been dying to try an egg cream. I don't even know what an egg cream is. I know there's no egg or no cream, but I need to have it.
Yeah.
It did not travel well, I got to tell you.
No, probably.
You
like,
want to drink that fresh.
Did it separate?
Yes.
Kind of? Yeah.
So an egg cream is basically carbonated water and like chocolate syrup kind of thing, like that old Canfield's Diet Fudge sodas. It's similar to that with whipped cream
like
on top.
Yeah. My grandfather
it didn't travel
liked
well.
It's not for everybody. It's kind of an acquired taste. Like when we used to go to Florida as a kid, there were places that served them and they were okay. There was better. I always thought there were better options, tastier options. But my dad gets very whimsical. Yeah, because when he was a kid, they were standard. You'd have them all the time.
Well, what reminded me is you would make your own Green River at home. Michael is determined to try to make his own egg cream at home.
Oh. You could, yeah, it's very doable. You could do that, yeah.
It didn't look appealing to me.
Mm.
Even when it was fresh and beautiful.
I was just going to say, try it immediately. Try it like
rather,
as soon as
they
make
it. Do they make a pastrami flavored one?
Yeah, the pastrami
one. Because I would go with that.
That's pretty good. You like that one. All right, we'll take a break. Kim's got the news for you and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It is time for news. Before we go, I want to just tell you, and Kim, you saw it. Bill just left.
He left. He doesn't like us anymore.
I know it's Bill left, but today it's Bill left because he just said he was bored and he walked out of here.
Dropped the mic and left.
Yeah. Mic drop. He did a mic drop. All right. Well, still to come, I'm going to tell you about the most common password ever. Is it yours? Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Bill had to cut out early today because he was bored. And we have some things that I wanted to talk about, but we do have some breaking news going on in Lincoln, Illinois, and Ryan Burrow is with us right now. Ryan, what's the latest?
Yeah, so we know right now, according to Illinois State Police, Trooper Sean Ramsey saying that at mile marker 132, this suspect, they believe to be Floyd E. Brown, crashed his vehicle on the side of I-55. He's no longer on the roadway, and he is stationary inside of his vehicle, and they have called in, obviously they've got law enforcement at the scene, they have called in a SWAT team. This does appear to be in a very rural area based on what we've seen of Lincoln, Illinois. There are no direct exits nearby. It doesn't appear as though there are any buildings nearby. So the question is now, are they going to wait him out? Are they going to try to establish some kind of communication with him to see if they can end this peacefully, if possible? But I want to point out that Lincoln, Illinois is about 160 miles away from Rockford. And this incident happened in the 9 o'clock hour. So it's, you know, it's about
ass.
A two and a half hour drive. To get to that point.
Made
so it, yeah, moved quite a bit, but said to be from the Springfield area, perhaps a crime that was committed in the Bloomington area, which was what initially started this search warrant where he was, found and encountered by the U.S. Marshals Service in Rockford. This deputy, what we know of right now, worked for the McHenry County Sheriff's Department. Now, what the U.S. Marshals Service will do is they'll pull in other local law enforcement agents to work with them in these task forces, and that is believed to be how this deputy came upon this situation, though he's from McHenry County.
So there was a warrant for this Floyd Brown's arrest, and the marshal was giving it to him?
Well, yeah. So what happens is U.S. Marshals, and it sounds like the multiple officers come out. It's not just one person.
Yeah, I can't imagine they do it singly.
Exactly.
Ever.
So went into this hotel room to serve this search warrant, and in somehow this shooting occurred. We don't exactly know what happened inside there, but they do believe Brown managed to get out of there. If there were multiple officers, managed to get around those officers and into a car where he was able to flee in this light blue-colored, silver-colored
Marquee.
Yeah, it was a Mercury Grand Marquee, yeah.
And then obviously more details will come out as you get them. But I just am curious, when you put the APB out and said what kind of car, and I believe the license plates were...
Yeah, we had not only an Illinois license plate, but a possible temporary license plate. So we don't know what's affixed to the back of that vehicle right now. I got to tell you, there's no helicopter that's getting to Lincoln, Illinois right now to see this. And all the traffic is completely shut down in both directions. So whatever's happening in that area is pretty much contained in that area. No one's really getting an eyewitness view of this.
And I think to make matters worse at this point, one of the state troopers said it's snowing pretty hard there. So that makes it really hard to get any type of, you know, police helicopter, yes, news helicopters in the air, so you can't get an overhead view of what's going on.
I just, you know, I have all these questions, and I know a lot of people do too. Did someone spot the car and call it in? Were officers able to see the car going? How did he get away? You'd think there were... I don't know. There weren't more marshals out there, maybe.
The one thing I can tell you is when a law enforcement officer is shot, everybody is aware of it. And so, yeah, you're not going to stay disappeared for very long, with all of those eyes out on the streets.
And it seems like there was some kind of a chase. And once police did hear what was going on, they pretty much lined themselves along the interstate. So
there was really no escaping.
Yeah. And I'm also seeing a tweet now, Ryan, that the FBI Chicago is assisting with the... With the standoff.
The ATF also involved with that, and we know that Illinois State Police are at the scene, so obviously Rockford is working on their angle of it, and this is multi-jurisdictional now.
And what are some neighboring towns from Lincoln, Illinois? That's what I was trying to look up, and I can't find any.
You know, it was south of Atlanta. I mean, we're talking about an area between Bloomington and Springfield, and there's Atlanta is one of the
Atlanta, the Illinois.
Atlanta, Illinois is one of the locations. Route 66 goes through there, so you know, if you've ever done that route before, you'll go through Atlanta. It kind of goes through. There's not a lot. Thankfully, actually, at this point, this situation isn't in a highly populated area.
Thankfully, you're right.
But it is causing, you know, major traffic tie-ups. A reporter on the way to the scene from Bloomington, Illinois, was saying that he could just see cars sitting there for miles and miles and miles, and it's blocked in both directions. So people, you know, are obviously going to be sitting there for, could be hours.
I know the details are sketchy at this point. Do we know how many officers were shot? Do we know their condition?
Just one. The deputy was the only person. Condition has not been confirmed. We're getting multiple reports that it is a life-threatening condition and that this officer, this deputy, I should say, has gone in for surgery. So we'll see what comes out of that.
Scary to have to, you know, apprehend someone. I just never feel like it goes very well.
We only hear about
the bad ones.
I guess
they're trained to do this. They know the reaction they'll get, and this is the scary part. We're supposed to get an update now at 1 o'clock Central Time on this situation. Looks like Rockford Police will be updating, so we don't know if they're going to have more on their aspect of it or the entire encompassing aspect with what's going on in Lincoln as well.
Appreciate that. And Ryan, thanks for keeping us up to date on that.
Yep.
John Williams will be here on the stream this afternoon because White Sox baseball happens. So we will keep you abreast of the situation. Breaking news is... it's very exciting to me. I'm sorry.
It really is. We're in a newsroom, so it gets our juices flowing. I mean, that's sort of like our Super Bowl when stuff like that happens, but you hate to hear anything, you know, tragic happening to somebody, but it is what we do, and it does, you know, we want to make sure we get the right information.
Yes.
So we may not be the first to get it, but we will get it right.
And we appreciate all the work you do in the newsroom here. I hate to, you know, turn the corner here with something light, but passwords are a big pain in my butt because, and I know there are password managers, and we speak to people about this, and there are some free apps. But then I'm thinking, okay, if there's an app that knows my passwords for everything, then what if that place gets hacked? Then you can get in all my accounts.
Are your passwords the same? Do you keep the same password? Me too.
And I know they tell you.
I know
you
that's
not
a
to.
Bad thing, but. You know what? Where are you going to write them all down or, you know, keep it on your phone? Then your phone gets hacked and everybody sees, oh, well, here, this is my password for this. This is my password for that. I mean,
can I tell you something?
It's a catch-22.
If you just put some of your passwords on your phone, honestly, I don't think I have never lost my phone. And if I did, I never have lost it.
No, me either.
So, you know, maybe there are some things on there. I don't know. I don't have many passwords, and that's stupid. But I want to just tell you that there's a password out there, and I found this pretty interesting. There is a remarkably common password, and I don't know, people, you might want to write it down as I'm saying this, because it's just, it's long, it's involved. It's J-I-32-K-7-A-U-4-A-8-3. So, Kim, you're hearing this and you're thinking, wow, that's going to be hard to hack.
Yeah, or I'm thinking, like, why is, does everybody have that very complicated common password?
There are, this seems like complicated when you punch in a password at a new site and it says the strength of your password.
Right.
Typically mine are always weak.
Me too, and I don't care.
So
just,
hackers,
I go weak.
If you're listening, you can get Kim and I, no problem.
We're weak.
But this, I would imagine, would be noted as very strong because you've got your letters and your numbers and a mix of the
are,
there,
are some caps?
No, they're all lowercase on this.
Oh, that's interesting, because usually they tell you you have to do a cap
and
a symbol. Have the character, right.
According to, there is a data breach repository. It's called Have I Been Pwned, H-I-B-P. And this particular password shows up more than you can ever imagine. This Have I Been Pwned is an aggregator that was started by a security expert named Troy Hunt. He wanted to help people find out if their email or personal data has shown up in any prominent data breaches. So one service it offers is a password search that allows you to check if your password has shown up in any data breaches anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then it would be on the radar of the security community. But in this particular case, when he ran this password, J-I-32-K-7-A-U-4-A-83, it showed up in 141 different breaches.
Wow.
So then he started thinking, why is everybody using this password? So there was a riddle that was going on. I was looking at the keyboard because I thought maybe it was like you go, you know, what is it, JKL, when you're doing a typing
class. Right, or like the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, you know, that kind of a thing.
This is different.
Okay.
There's a riddle. The password is comes from a particular system that translates Mandarin. Now, Mandarin is a language that kids are learning in school now.
Which is most difficult. It's one of the hardest languages to learn.
And I've read, I took French, it didn't help me at all. I've heard that if you're planning to get into computers or business, that Mandarin is a really good language to learn. So it's showing up this J-I-32-K, blah, 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 blah. It translates from Mandarin to English. All those characters spell out my password.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. This guy, I reached out to a friend of mine to help us verify what was going on. The friend was a graduate student in linguistics and Taiwan enthusiast who was focusing on endangered language documentation. And they explained that JI3 equals a symbol in Mandarin, which then equals the letter M in English.
Wow.
Then 2K7 equals a symbol that is the letter Y in English. Then AU4 is a symbol that means pass in English. And A83 is a symbol that translates to word in English. So it spells out my password.
So when this man was tracking this, could he tell that it was coming from a certain part of the world? Like, was it, you know, more Chinese speaking countries?
You know what? That's
because obviously they have very large populations as well.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I don't feel the people in Taiwan would do my password. That's like us putting my password as our password.
Right. Although it's interesting because you think people like who live in other countries don't know about like things like that, an American thing. And I can just tell you from my sister living in Israel, they are so much more aware of like little American things because they all watch American TV and there's so many American
That's
stuff.
True.
So there are things that, because this world now is so small, things just spill over. So they may very well know. And even if they're buying American products or American, you know, computers,
right,
you get that stuff.
Yeah, see, I never would have put two and two together, and I am so bad at generating passwords.
I'm the worst. And I use things that are familiar to me, too, so I don't want to give too much away. But, you know,
I am Kim.
Yeah.
22.
Or, yeah.
Password strength is something that I don't usually get the strong ones when I do it. But
me
I
either.
How secure is your password? I don't know. And you're also, you've been told, do not use part of your name in it. Do not use birth dates, because those are like
Social
what
Security number.
Yeah, boy, that would be bad if somebody
really
hacked
bad.
That. And a lot of people use their pets' names.
Or your kids' names.
Yes. And I suck at making up passwords. I mean, I bet if there was an expert that was trying to figure things out. But, you know, and there's so much information available on the internet. A lot of times banks would ask for your mother's maiden name. But you could find, like, all this stuff out on the internet from people. If you Google search people, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can figure out, oh, here is what their dog's name is through social media or whatever. So now I don't know what to do. Now I'm thinking my password is actually the safest one to use.
It's crazy.
Because they think, who in the world would use my password?
At first, when I saw those characters, I thought to myself, well, maybe people just, you know how when you're assigned a temporary password, if you lose your password, and that it's kind of like that, like all those letters and numbers. And I thought when you were first explaining what was going on, I was thinking, oh, well, maybe people just keep that
and
copy
and paste
it. Because that's kind of what it seems like, but obviously, no.
Yeah, it's good to know that you don't use a password organizer as well.
No.
Jasmine,
do you?
Or do you keep track of your passwords, or do you use an app or something?
I write them down.
But where
do you
keep it?
And then where do you put that piece
in my room, in a safe.
You do not.
I do have a safe with my passport and everything.
What if you're at work and you need a password?
Yeah, you need your password. What are you going to do?
I remember it.
Unless she's young. Her memory's still good.
No, ever since I had that fire in my apartment, I keep everything in that little safe.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
All right, I guess that's the way to do it. Because seriously, you know, I get a lot of hacked Facebook messages from people I'm friends with. And then, again, if you're putting your password in the trust of a password manager, everything's getting hacked. So if that password manager gets hacked, then they have your passwords for absolutely everything.
And I feel like, you know what? If you're going to get hacked, your password could be the strongest, highest, whatever. If they want you, they're going to get you. It doesn't matter what you do. I mean, maybe some people make it easier than others, but you're still.
People are suggesting ways to come up with passwords. Somebody thinks Bill left to go get kettle corn because that's his new addiction.
You know what? I have to agree with him. I've got a little bit of a kettle corn addiction going too right now with the Boom Boom Chicka Pop 35
cups. That's what he was talking about.
35 calories a cup. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but does it taste like it's 35 calories a cup?
No, it does not. It is fresh
Stephanie
and
Tishner
delicious.
Is in the studio with us.
Hey, Wendy.
Hi, manager.
I have a suggestion because I love kettle corn too, the Boom Chicka Pop.
Yeah.
Put Kraft mini marshmallows in there, and it's so good.
Ooh,
the marshmallows with
that's too much sugar.
Well, but you need the salty and sweet.
Yes.
But here's why I converted to kettle pop, the kettle corn. Because I love their cheddar caramel mix. It's like 100 calories.
Yes.
But you know what? You can't find it. All of a sudden, I found one bag in my grocery the other day. I was so excited, and now you can't find it.
What about those pretzels you brought that one time? Kim has the best snacks. Like, she just has the best snacks.
I found a pretty great trail mix yesterday that I had never, ever tried before. It was at, I can't remember Walgreens brand name. Is it Delish or
nice.
Something?
Oh,
nice.
It's nice.
Yeah. It is nice. And it has almonds, it has pecans, it has walnuts, and dried blueberries.
Nice.
And that's it. It's like all my favorite nuts, and I love blueberries.
All a combo.
I do not like raisins, however.
I like raisins better than raisins.
Yes, because they're more tart.
Yes.
That's how I feel. Because
it's good mix with the nuts.
And I don't like raisins on their own. Stephanie, you're giving me a weird look. I just, they're pruny.
Some people just
grapes.
Don't like.
They're
I
gross.
Love them.
They're like old
too.
Man grapes.
Some people They're shriveled up.
I don't like them by themselves, but you need them in a trail mix.
You do.
Otherwise, it's too nutty.
You do. What My favorite trail mix is actually the Archer Farms from Target, the handful of everything. Delicious.
What is that? What are pepitos or pepitos?
Oh, those are the little pumpkin seeds.
Why don't they just call them pumpkin seeds? There's sunflower seeds as well. But then I saw on one of them...
It's like a flat little green kernel.
Yeah, that's
a pumpkin seed.
But that's not a pumpkin seed like a pumpkin seed.
Right, it's a different type of pumpkin seed.
All right.
That's why it's called a pepita and not
Is
a pumpkin
it a
seed.
Pepito?
I think it's P-E-P-I-T-A.
Huh.
It has a little greenish flat seed. It looks like a larger pumpkin seed larger sunflower seed.
But it's green.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like
they're good. I put them actually. I sprinkle them on the soup that I make.
Here's the difference between
crunch.
Pepitas and pumpkin seeds. Here's the difference. It's going to take a little reading. If you want pepitas, you don't want to have to shell them.
Right. Buy them shelled.
They're a small. What is a pepita, though? I don't need to know what a seed is. Is a pepita a pumpkin?
A pepita is, I don't know. We'll have to see.
I've never heard of it. And Nice is the brand that's at Walgreens? Because those are pretty good. I like the blueberry.
Nice is Walgreens. Archer Farms is Target.
Is Target, correct. Is the edible seed of a pumpkin or certain other type of squash. So a pepita is...
Baby pumpkin seeds, basically.
Right.
They're greener because...
It means little seed of squash in Spanish.
Pepita.
So it must be...
Kimita.
Maybe it's a certain kind of squash that's indigenous to that area.
All right. Well, it's pretty good.
Good.
I highly recommend that.
They contain lots of fiber and protein.
But that is not in my nice thing. That is just pecans, almonds, walnuts, and big halves of walnuts, and dehydrated blueberries. I highly recommend
Dehydrated
that.
Dehydrated blueberries are very good.
They are good. Is that what you came in, Stephanie, to talk about? Was the kettle corn situation?
I did, because I was just coming in just to listen to you guys, because I just love the bonus
hour. It's girl talk today. Well, it's girl talk when Bill's here, too, so I really shouldn't.
Right, and then you mentioned the kettle corn, and just in my head, I just had to tell y'all to put marshmallows in it.
That's a great idea.
And as for a hint from our listeners, use a phrase for your password or a title of your favorite book.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh.
I'm going to use Pepitas 1234 as my
exclamation
password.
You got to have a character in there.
We have got to break because here's what's going on: White Sox baseball, spring training. That's going on one of the that's going on 7:20 a.m. And then John Williams will be taking this studio away from us, Kim, because he will be doing his show live on the stream and probably part of Row as well.
Yeah, part of Row, probably till like 5:30.
All right. Well, we'll hear you on Row's show. Thank you for hanging out. Bill will be back tomorrow, and he'll be full of kettle corn. I think that's what's happened. He just said he was bored and left. That was it. That's the last we heard.
Can you believe that?
I think he should be in trouble, Stephanie. I think so. All right. It is Not Bill Left and Wendy Snyder and Kim Gordon on WGN. We thank you so, so very much for listening. Thanks to Kim Gordon for sticking around and a special guest appearance by Stephanie Tischner to talk kettle corn. Jasmine, it's been a great fun day, and we have to get off the air because White Sox baseball is happening on 7:20 a.m. WGN. John Williams will be borrowing our stream for the day, and then I believe part of Rokon's show as well.
Right.
And Bill will be back tomorrow. What if he's bored tomorrow? Is he just going to leave again?
I don't know. Stay tuned.
Weird.
Stay tuned.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow's Friday. Can't wait. See you then.